This is WCOOK coming to you live from Atlanta, GA. You are now tuned in to The Lioness Inn with your host, Chinwe. And it's all brought to you by locally grown Black Girl Magic.
All my brothers, my sisters, my soldiers, my sister soldiers, my buffalo soldiers, everybody, how y'all doing out there? Happy Black History Month. I hope everybody's Black History Month was awesome and great. I hope that you learned a lot. I hope that you saw some justice get served during those 28 days at some point. I really hope that you're just having a really great year so far. It is the third month of the year. It's the first of the month. Well, it's the beginning of the month. It ain't the first no more, but it's the beginning of the month. Do what you got to do to pay them bills. Do what you got to do to pay your rent. If you got to go to the pawn shop, that's okay, baby. That is okay. Do what you need to do in order to survive. That's my little quick, wheezy word of wisdom. I got some more at the end of the show, but I just want to start off saying something nice and encouraging, because sometimes life can get you down. And sometimes life is not going to go exactly how you planned, or sometimes it just feels like things are not going to pan out. But you get on your knees and you pray and you really keep the faith. That's all you can do, is keep the faith, like the old people say. And if you keep the faith and you work hard, God will provide every single time. But anyway, this is episode 10 of The Lioness Den. And today I'm going to really just be talking about a bunch of different stuff, some political stuff, some entertainment, some music. Normally, we do the artist shine of the week at the end, but in this episode, we're going to do artist shine of the week first. All right? So this is episode 10 of The Lioness Den. Artist shine of the week is coming up right after these messages. The Lioness Den is brought to you by Chinwe Mponya Cook Productions, LLC. If you would like to know more about that production company, then you can head on over to www.chinweezy.com. Again, that's www.chinweezy.com. And now it's time for the artist shine of the week. To be back. It's been like a long time since the last time I talked to you guys. So, and I'm going to share with you the arty shine of the week. Okay, this week goes to Jordan Peele. Now, I know you guys know Jordan Peele from Key and Peele and Matt TV and things like that, but he is the artist shine of the week because he is a director, he's a producer, he's a writer. And you know, if you're a writer, to me, that means that you are a creative person. You are an artist. It takes an artist to create a work of art. And the work of art that I am talking about is Get Out. Now, I know that everyone has been talking about this movie because it's awesome. I mean, if you have not seen it, you are behind the curve already. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you need to go see it immediately, like yesterday, ayer. Go see it. So Jordan Peele, he made about $42 million worldwide on a $4.5 million budget for Get Out. Get Out is a movie about this guy named Chris. He goes to visit his white girlfriend's parents, and it turns out they're like crazy, and they got a slave auction, and they're mind-controlling people. Jordan Peele, the creator, said he was inspired by Stepford Wives. It's kind of satirical, but it's also kind of like a thriller at the same time. And the people that starred in the movie, Daniel Kaluuya, he was like the main character, and he's also going to be, his next movie he's going to be in is Black Panther, so look out for that. Catherine Keener, Allison Williams, Lakeith Stanfield, you know the guy from Atlanta, our favorite person. Bradley Whitford, Stephen Root. Those were the characters. And the moral of the story, if you have not seen Get Out, I'll tell you the moral of the story. You cannot afford to trust white women unless you've got a friend like Rod. It got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. That is unheard of in the cinema world. I don't know if you know, but Rotten Tomatoes, they're very, very tough critics on movies. And it got 100%. That should just tell you right there. And if you want to know more details about the movie, please go to the website, thelionisdenblog.com, thelionisdenblog.com, to read more about the movie. But that's why I want to give Jordan Peele the artist shine of the week, because the movie really resonated. He topped the box office in the first weekend. Worldwide, he's already made a $30-something million profit from the movie. And this was his directorial debut, meaning this is his first movie that he's directed and put out. And that's a big, big deal. And Get Out is an amazing work of art. And for Jordan Peele to write it himself, amazing. And he said there was more scenes. It was a little bit more gory originally, but he kept it. He took out and he gave us what he gave us. So I can only imagine. And he said that he's got 4 other ideas in mind for movies like this. So Jordan Peele gets the artist shine of the week. Get Out is an amazing work of art, amazing movie. And you know what? You're an awesome person. Good job, Jordan Peele. And coming up next, we have the entertainment news. Let's start the entertainment news off with something very, very amazing. Round of applause to Mahershala Ali and Viola Davis. Mahershala Ali is the first Muslim actor to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for his role as Juan in Moonlight. Amazing movie. Loved it. And Viola Davis won Best Supporting Actress for her role in Fences. And this is a big deal because she is just one letter short of having an EGOT. I think that's how you pronounce it. EGOT, which is an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Emmy, Grammy, say that 4 times fast. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Okay, yeah. So that's amazing. That's amazing to her. For both of them, that's just black excellence all around. And I just did a little bit of background research on Mahershala Ali. He converted to Muslim 17 years ago, and his mom is an ordained minister. And he said that at first they had like a tussle, like tug and pull, and he initially felt like being a Muslim was like being a part of a cult. So I just thought that was interesting how he was able to, like, you know, open up his mind and just accept something else and be okay with that. And, you know, for he and his mom to still get along. And then the story of Viola Davis, I think a lot of people know this. She was born on a sharecropper's farm in South Carolina, and they like came from, you know, next to nothing. She says she only had one picture of herself as a child, and that's her kindergarten picture. And she says she just remembers looking around and remembering, I don't want to live like this forever. This can't be forever. And for them to be where they are, that's just really, really, really amazing. So kudos again to Mahershala Ali and Viola Davis. Outstanding. Next, we got Lauren London. Miss Lauren London, you know, she goes missing. She is very, very private with her Instagram. She is very private with her life. You don't see her kids but once in a blue moon. But she popped up back on our radar at a basketball game, at a Lakers game, where her boo thing, now fiance for all the haters, Nipsey Hussle. Round of applause for that. Yes, girlfriend. And we got to add, she is curvaceous. And a lot of people were hating, and I saw the picture the first time, and I said, am I tripping? But anyway, Lauren London, she put on a couple of pounds. She still looks good. She still has a beautiful face. All hell broke loose because this girl on Twitter said something very disrespectful about Lauren London's appearance. And all hell broke loose on Twitter. But Lauren London, you know, she's very classy, obviously. If someone can be that private with their life, then, you know, they got a little bit of class to them, I'd like to say. So she came back with something very nice on Instagram. It read, I've been getting compliments on my looks for years. I never let it gas me, because I knew that enduring value in all things is eternal. When I decided to have my son, I knew the internet would be cruel. I knew that casting directors would consider my body, me, out of commission for at least 1 year. I knew that my body would change, but I did not let that fear of these things affect me to the point of going against my spirit. I asked myself, would you rather be at conflict with yourself and at peace with the world, or at peace with yourself and at conflict with the world? I chose the latter. At that moment, I was ready for whatever came with it. This little weight would get worked off, and who I am would be uncompromised. Win-win, no sign, LL the Great, a.k.a. Nunu. I just thought it sounded a lot better if Nunu read it instead of Lauren London. But anyway, that's what she clapped back and said. Very classy, I think, despite the Nunu voice. It was a very classily written clapback. And Nipsey Hussle put a ring on it, so, I mean, it's a win-win, no? She was right. Moving along. The Cash Me Outside girl, Danielle Brigali. I think I'm just going to forever call her the Cash Me Outside girl. The only reason I know her name is because I looked it up for this particular, just so I would know, you know, it's good to know, but she will forever be Cash Me Outside girl. Anyway, she got several production companies allegedly reaching out to her to make a reality show about her. Great. I can't wait to watch it. I'm going to watch it. We had Honey Boo Boo for a while. That kind of died out. And now we've got Cash Me Outside girl. Love it. Can't wait to see what it's going to look like. Jersey Shore in the making. Is that what we're talking here? Can't wait to see it. On the positive side of all that foolishness, the Cash Me Outside girl does have a really cool remix song. I love it. I heard it at this event that I'm going to talk about right now. I think DJ Oso played it. Shout out to DJ Oso. She's awesome, amazing, outstanding female DJ. Female DJs are so underrated. I just want to scream it from the top of a mountain. Like, female DJs are so underrated. There should be more female DJs in radio stations. There should be more of them in the clubs. They're so awesome. The way they blend music, I mean, it's on a whole nother level. That's something that males just can't capture in music. No offense, you know what I mean? I love male DJs. I love DJs, but I'm just saying, like, there's something about the way a woman can blend a song with another one, no matter what genre. It's pretty cool. So anyway, Bay event. Now we're going to move on to the music section of this episode 10.
The hoes are laughing.
Yup.
The hoes are laughing.
Yup.
Hoes are laughing. So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yup.
What does that mean?
What I just said.
What does that mean?
What I just said.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Sit down.
Yes, that song is so awesome. It's so catchy. I don't know who made it, but whoever you are, please show yourself. I'm going to do some more research and find out who you are. I just love it. It's the cleanest beat. Oh, it just engulfs you. And then Cash Me Outside. How about that? Oh my God. It's like melodic. I'm sorry. That's the only great thing that's come of that situation. Anyway, more music. So I heard that song at a Bay event, Bay Worldwide. Their first event of 2017, I went to it a couple of weeks ago, Bay ATL. It stayed true to its aim of transcending societal norms to create an authentic environment where women can thrive artistically. Wow. That's what their Instagram says, and I'm telling you that that's exactly what I did, what it did. That whole rant on female DJs was because of this event. Shout outs, like I said, to DJ Oso. She did her thing. It was a really cool, neat space in Edgewood. It was $15 after 12. I think it was $10 before, but you could do an Eventbrite. It was really neat. They had a bar. They had a nice setup. There was like no sections or nothing. You just had to stand up and dance and mingle. Oh, by the way, there are videos of this on thelionessdenblog.com. As well as everything else. Oh my God, there's a whole reference sheet. I didn't even mention it. TheLionIsDenBlog.com, there's a reference sheet with all the videos, everything that I'm talking about in order. You can listen to it simultaneously as you're reading it, or you can look at it afterwards before, whatevs. You just need some funny videos or something to look at. I'm your girl, TheLionIsDenBlog.com. Go there, hit it up. So anyway, where was I? The Bay event. It was awesome. I had a really good time. Shout out to Jay Carter. She's the one that invited me. It was a lot of fun. So thank you. I just want to talk about that for a second. All right, music, more music. Cardi B, girl. Shout out to Cardi B. I saw someone say that the B in Cardi B means Cardi Banks because she just flipped a brick, quote unquote, and turned her Love & Hip Hop deal into a multi-million dollar Atlantic Records deal. Baby, it's raining money for Cardi B. You feel me? She did her thing. She not just a regular degada schmegula girl no more. And I think it's so cool how, like, everybody really, like, rocks with her and messes with her heavy. And you know what? That's great. Good for her. And I also saw someone else say they wonder if she gonna put Mariah Lynn and Bianca on the track. Ha ha. We'll see. The reason why she quit, she already quit Love & Hip Hop back in December to focus on her music. So I'm wondering if after she, like, quit it and she started really working on her music and she really wasn't on the show anymore, because she really stopped being on the show for real. She popped up every couple of episodes, but she wasn't really on there for real. I wonder if once that happened, then she got a deal, or did she get a deal before she quit? I'm just wondering, because if she got it after, if she got the deal after, that would say a heck of a whole lot about trusting yourself and really going after what you want and knowing that you're greater than something and really, you know, putting your foot down. But if she got it before, that's cool too, because it shows that somebody saw the potential and she said, you know what, this is way more important. Bump that. Here we go. But either way, congrats, Cardi B. I also saw Gucci is teaming up with Black. Oh my God, I saw a picture on Instagram. It may not mean nothing to y'all, but they're both from the East Side. They're some completely opposite feels. I wonder how, like, what type of beat they're going to work with. They were producing it. It's being produced by Nard and B, so that should also be interesting. It just sounds like something that's going to be really, really, really nice, whether it's one song or a few tracks. That would be great. Nard and B produced T-shirt, by the way, if you were confused, and some more of Gucci stuff. Speaking of Gucci Mane, 2 Chainz and Gucci Mane performed Good Drink, oh my God, on The Tonight Show. Woo! Now, Quavo could not be there, but his ad-libs were there. And do you know who sang Quavo's chorus? It was a choir. I couldn't find out who the choir was, but if you want to know who that man was in front directing them, it was Bonsworth Bentley. He was directing the choir. It's so beautiful. Please take a listen right now. Yeah! Yes. Now you guys hear that choir. That was amazing. You can hear the rest of it on the lionessdenblog.com. I'm not going to give y'all the whole thing. Go listen to it. Go watch it. It's a great performance. It's awesome. 2 Chainz freestyles the whole last verse. It's amazing. Okay. Now for this very sad moment in musical hip hop history, I'm going to talk about Sheether. I'm not going to play no parts of that because we not promoting that type of slander on the Lioness Den. I'm sorry. Like, yes, Remy went hard on Sheether. Yes, of course she went hard. But I'm still Team Nicki. Like, at first I was, like, favoriting all the stuff on Twitter, I'm going to admit, because the stuff was funny. I like stuff that's funny. In a beef, I might be on somebody's side, but if it's funny, I'm going to like it anyway. I probably did the same thing with Drake and Meek, so don't take anything that I do on Twitter to heart, please. But anyway, I'm still Team Nicki overall. I mean, you do what you got to do to get what you want to get out of life. And it don't matter how she went about it. I mean, Remy hit some low spots. That wasn't cool. Like, I don't know. It is cool, but at the end of the day, it's like, okay. I think the best thing for Nicki not to do is respond. And if she does respond, she got to go, like, really, really, really big. Alaysia, my friend Alaysia and I were talking about this. She has to go really, really, really big. Like, buy a stake in Love & Hip Hop or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cash out. Not no song. She got to do something business-like, because she, all this time, she's been talking about plaques, plaques, plaques. That's money, money, money. So then you got to do something money-based. And then make a song after you do the money. And make it like a pop song or something and put it on the billboards and, like, make a video for it and go all out. That's what you got to do. Anyway, good luck to Nicki in that whole thing. I don't really want to see her fail. I don't. Also, Black women, please don't fight. Please don't fight, Black women. Let's not do that. And then y'all all, like, from New York. Like, how does that even work? How can y'all all be from New York and y'all all be feuding? Y'all supposed to be working together to build New York's reputation back up, like, as a female unit. Y'all could be like the new era of the Salt and Pepper and whatnot, and JJ Fad and Queen Latifah and all of them. Y'all could be like the new era that with Lil' Kim, all them, but y'all fighting. That's not smart. Like, come on, black women, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's use our lioness powers for good and not evil and not the destruction of other prides, please. All right. And then with all that drama, you got rumors that Nicki and Future are dating, which I just don't believe. They say they're working on a music video. I believe that. I think they're working on a music video. Let's leave that alone. But now we can move on to Future and talk about these albums he's been dropping. Future has been going in, y'all. I liked Hendrix. I loved Future. Amazing album. My favorite songs are High Demand, Draco, obviously, Super Trappin', Hallucinating, all of them, Out of Time. I mean, all of them. On Hendrix, I like My Collection. What are you guys' favorites? Go to the Lioness Den blog, on Twitter, and comment and tell me what are your favorite songs on the Future albums. I'm being partial. I'm from Atlanta, y'all. I'm sorry. We got to have a moment to wig out over Future. I have a lot of appreciation. Oh, second disclaimer of the evening. The first one was black women don't fight each other. Now, the second disclaimer is there will be no Future slander tolerated here in the Lioness Den. So I don't want to hear it. My friend did say something funny. I said that Future was in his feelings, and my friend says, no, he's in his thirst, because Sierra has moved on. She's married. She's got a whole nother baby. So this is just thirst, which I gotta agree with, but I still love Future, and he still killed those albums. And then people were talking mad junk, but posting March Madness all on Twitter today. The same people talking about how they don't like none of Future stuff. Anyway, and also, what is going on with him and Rocco? Everybody keeps saying that he's getting sued, but no one's saying it's true. They're going back and forth on Twitter, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with that situation, so you know what? I'm not going to comment on it because I really don't understand what's going on. I feel like it's something much deeper. I feel like they're brothers and a line got crossed or something like that, but I don't know. And it's very messy and it's unclear and rumors getting started and I don't think any of it's true. So I'm not going to touch bases on that, but I hope they work that out. And now, with that being said, we are going to move into politics, because your people in power are even crazier than the celebrities, y'all. I swear. I promise you.
Extra, extra, read all about it. If you want more information on how you can advertise on this site, hey, listen to me. If you want to know how you can advertise, go to www.chinweezy.com.
Barack and Michelle Obama, allegedly they have an offer between $35 and $60 million by Penguin Random House for their White House memoirs. Barack Obama's memoirs will be about, you know, his behind-the-scenes trials and tribulations. You know, nothing major as a black man in the most powerful seat in the world. And Michelle Obama will be an inspirational work for young people that will draw upon her life story, quote-unquote, according to the Associated Press. Good people. And you know, Obama, he's written two books before, The Audacity of Hope and Dreams from My Father. And they were both bestsellers. And did y'all know that Barack Obama was a millionaire before he even got in the White House? I learned that today. And Michelle Obama is already a published author as well. She has a book about food and gardening called American Grown, which she put out in 2012. And the Obamas are donating a lot of their money to charity and their nonprofit Obama Foundation. So just gotta love the Obamas no matter what. Now, it's gotta talk about Obama. We gotta talk about Joe Biden too. Apparently, former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Bo Biden, passed from brain cancer back in May of 2015. 5 months later, Joe's other son, Hunter Biden, separated from his wife. They got three kids together. And now, a couple of years later, it's reported that Hunter Biden is dating Hallie Biden. the widow of Hunter's brother, Beau Biden. Beau Biden has two kids with Hallie Biden, who is now dating his brother, Hunter Biden. And a daughter named Natalie and a son named after his brother, Hunter Biden. What did Joe Biden have to say about this? He said that he and his wife, Jill, are happy that Hallie and Hunter have found each other as they are putting their lives together again after such sadness. I'm sure Joe Biden doesn't sound like that, but I'm just making him sound like that because I want him to. So, y'all remember this was an episode of Scandal a long time ago. Something like this happened. I ain't going to speak too much on that. I just want to tell you that was going on. I ain't going to say too much in my opinion because that's life. All right. There's something called post-election distress disorder, according to CNN. 52% of adults say the 2016 election is a very or somewhat significant source of stress. Meaning, I see it all the time, people saying, I want to be informed, but then again, I don't want to be informed because when I'm informed, I get stressed TF out. I get stressed out. And I feel you on that. So, Dr. Gail Salt says voting in local elections and doing something helps you feel less anxious. I heard that too. We need to vote. Please find out what's going on with Atlanta mayor stuff. I'm going to look that up and I'm going to post that information on the lionisthemblog.com because we got to keep it black, because if it's not black, then it's no bueno for us. So yeah, the lionisthemblog.com. I digress. Back to post-election distress disorder. Psychiatrists are saying that more people are coming in and talking about politics on the couch as something that stresses them out, which was a thing that never existed before. And people arguing with family members, coworkers, etc., about everything that's going on in the news. So that's why it's stressing people out, because it's not just something that happens in TV anymore. These are constant conversations all the time, every day, because there's a lot going on. So it's stressing people out. Basically, now that white people are stressing out, now everybody needs to be freaking out. Black folks been stressed out for years. Anyway, Kellyanne Conway's old goofy behind had her shoes up in somebody's White House couch. She claimed she was just trying to get an angle for a picture. That was the best way to get the angle because the press was standing behind her. So she had to put her little shoes. Okay, you got to get on the couch. I kind of understand that a little bit, but not really. Stand behind the couch to get the angle and move your arms over. I just would never think to put my feet in the seats. And then with my shoes on, like, come on, Kellyanne. You got to think before you do stuff. She don't be thinking. She's a counselor. What is wrong with her? Like, don't do that. Anyway, and she was trying to get a picture of all the HBCU presidents, so this just makes it even more weird. Then they tried to compare it to Obama putting his feet up on the desk, but no. Putting your feet up on a desk, that's standard. Everybody's going to do that. He's a cool dude. Don't do that. Don't drag Obama into this. Do not compare Obama to Kellyanne Conway. At least compare Obama to the president. I mean, golly. Ugh. Moving on. I saw an article on Business Insider about how much millennials are earning annually across the U.S. by Andy Cairns. By millennials, we're talking 1981 to 1987, if you're born in between those years. This applies to you. Now, these numbers you have to take into account that this is including like kids that are like 17 and have part-time jobs in college, and kids like other people who don't have jobs, and just all those people, but are millennials. So it's not everybody who's like working. So it might be on the lower side. But anyway, student debt has reached an all-time high, allegedly. No, factually. Student debt has reached an all-time high. The job market is more competitive now than ever. As a result, young people today aren't earning as much as their parents. And with the exception of 10 states, the rest of the country's 80 millennials are making a maximum of $25,000. So I did that one myself, like New York, and some random states. There's a couple of states where people are making a little bit more, but that's because the cost of living is a little bit higher. But for the most part, $25,000 is like the median. And I know a lot of people aren't even making that. I also saw someone mention taking into account student loans and all this crazy stuff because, you know, student loans is a hot topic. A lot of people are not happy about student loans, and for very good reason. But anyway, it's hard out here for pimps. But keep your heads up, millennials. Keep your heads up. We got this. Moving along. Let's talk about Señor Jose Torres and Kayla Rae Norton. They were a white couple riding around in trucks, waving Confederate flags, and terrorizing a children's birthday party, a black child's birthday party, 8 years old. Then they say somebody threw something at the truck. So that's why they parked their trucks, got out. Kayla passed the shotgun to Jose. He cocked it. He was pointing it at children. According to the DA's office, he pointed at the group of African-American partygoers and stated he was going to kill them, while his co-defendant stating the little ones can get it too. Are you kidding me? You pulled over. First of all, you already know they're drunk. It just sounds drunk. Y'all got drunk, went on. They said this was shortly after Dylann Roof. This was last year, shortly after Dylann Roof massacred those people in the church. This was some time after that, a short time after that. And they got drunk. They went on a tirade. They're from another part of Georgia, but they wound up in Douglasville. And they were terrorizing these kids outside having a party. They were hot dogs grilling, bouncy castle, like it was a legit kids' party. That's like the KKK riding up and burning crosses in your yard. Like, that's terrorizing. Like, are you kidding me? That's just unacceptable. And they got what they deserved. And according to the DA's office, Facebook snitched on them. And this is why they really, really, really got the sentence they deserved. They went on Facebook. The cops found out they were a part of a group called Respect the Flag. They found a lot of stuff that said they were basically white supremacists who discussed attending KKK rallies, joining skinhead nations, and making numerous derogatory remarks about African Americans as a whole. They were just wild and lip loose, quote unquote. Wild and lip loose on the internet. The white girl was in court. Ooh, white girls know they can cry. Just like, I almost spoiled Get Out. I hope everybody's seen it. Please go see it if you haven't seen it. But white girls know they can cry at the end of something. Let me tell you something. This is what she was in court saying.
I do accept the possibility for what I've done. I know I was in the wrong. But I want you all to know that that is not me. That is not me. That's not him. I would never walk up to you and say those words to you. And I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, cried in white tears, girl. The rest of that is on the lionisdenblog.com. She's just not this person. Child, please. You handed the shotgun to the man. He wasn't even thinking about it. You passed it to him. You are the problem. And she got three. They got three kids together. At home, dude is Hispanic. How you gonna do that to us for this white girl? Homeboy? How you gonna trade on us? They was in court crying like little bitches. But she was crying. Then the one other mama got up and said she forgave her. And I was like, I guess, but whatever. So forgiving we are. Such a forgiving people. Anyway, it didn't work, and I want to give a huge shout-out to Judge Joe McClain. This is what he had to say.
I suppose a Confederate flag can be interpreted in different ways, in different contexts, but if you drive around town waving Confederate flags and using the N-word everywhere you go, then there's only one way to interpret that.
That's one of probably the most fair statements I've ever heard, and that's why he gets King of the Jungle for me this week, because I mean, that's just a really fair judgment, and I'm not mad at it at all, and I really appreciate the fact that he did what was right. And just a little background on Judge Bo. He's a native of Jacksonville, Florida. He came to Douglas County in 1987 as the assistant district attorney, and he was elected to judgeship in 2008, according to Wikipedia. He has a ministry called Faith in Action, and when Katrina happened, he opened up his ministry and went to Walmart and bought all types of necessities and stuff and gave it to my New Orleans folks so they would have everything that they need and not feel out of place. So that was nice of him. So that's why he get King of the Jungle, baby, because he just really held it down for his pride. Shout out to Judge Bo McLean for just being real AF. And that's why he's king of the jungle.
26-year-old Jose Ismael Torres, sentenced to 20 years. He was ordered to serve 13 years for terroristic threats, gang activity, among other charges stemming from this incident back in July of 2015. And then also 25-year-old Kayla Ray Norton, sentenced to 15 years with 6 to serve.
Hello? Is anyone there? Are you still listening? I can't believe this. You really stuck around to the whole episode of The Lion's Den. Well, I just thank you so much. Well, since I have your attention, can I tell you about something? It's called Wheezy Tees. See, Chin Weizen started this clothing line called Wheezy Tees. And if you go to her website, www.chinweezy.com, you can get you a Wheezy Tee. Now, all shirts are made to order. So don't be rushing her, but she'll get you your shirt. Just go and check them out. I'm sure you're going to love them, all right? Now, coming up next is a Wheezy Word of Wisdom. Yes, it is time for the Wheezy Word of Wisdom. It's going to be short and to the point, but what you really need to know is follow your heart. No matter what anyone will say to you, no matter what you think, no matter what you think anyone will feel about you, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a long, tough road. But you must, at all costs, follow your heart. That's it. Wow. Thank you. All right. Great Wheezy word of wisdom. Great word of advice. Yes, please follow your heart. Do what makes you happy. Be safe in these streets. Thank you for listening to episode 10 of The Lion is Den. You know, I still have not given it a name. With the names, I usually come up with them as I'm recording them. It'll come to me as I find a common theme, but maybe it'll be called WTF. What the fudge? That's the name, because there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. In this episode, I think it was some pretty cool topics. Hit me up on my Instagram and my Twitter at new Instagram, new Twitter name, at Chinny Cash _. No, actually, there's no _. Oh, it's just at Chinny Cash. Twitter, Instagram at Chinny Cash, and at The Lioness Den _ on Twitter. For The Lioness Den tweets. Don't forget to tweet me and tell me what your favorite Future songs are from the album, Future and Hendrix. And if there's any new music or anything else you want to comment on that I was discussing, please hit me up. Please go to thelionessdenblog.com. If you would like to advertise, go to chinweezy.com or email me at bookchinweezy@gmail.com. You can get through to my people. My people will work something out with your people. It'll be all good. So, again, thank you for listening so much. I appreciate each and every one of you. And I love you guys. I hope everyone has a blessed week. A safe weekend. Have a safe weekend. And always remember, be safe in these streets. Wheezy out.